Welcome to episode 201, Hollywood Henderson. We got Toby joining us tonight. It is going to be a great show. You're not Chris.
Oh, nope.
Super new guest.
You're not Chris. What's going on? Where's Chris?
Hey.
I heard he's over visiting.
Yeah, he's
visiting the new king.
Yeah, that's what he says.
Him and King Charles are hanging out.
You know. Oh, man. Well.
Y'all just had to bring the guy with the gray tan back. That's all.
Well, it's been a minute since you've been in the studio, so I appreciate you taking time and joining us. Damon and Melissa. Damon and I are here at the ATV, along with Melissa, here at the ATV Studios with the Ethan Clark Studios here in the busy metropolis of Heartland. We got some breaking news. We got to start right off with the show. Chris and I are now setting, well, Damon and I, Chris and I normally sit here, but we're sitting at the new, shiny new, same desk we had before, Ghettoware News Desk.
Ah.
Yeah, I've got a new sponsor for the news desk. And the breaking news, aside from that breaking news, is, Melissa, you want to let them know who the new sponsor of the trivia segment is?
That would be Die Job Apparel. Sean Gifford, our bestie,
Giffy,
is now sponsoring my trivia. So thanks up. Thanks, dude. Appreciate it.
Yes.
So hopefully we got some new swag coming our way and lots of new giveaways coming up. So, I mean, he might not know it, but he does now.
There you go. That's all that matters. Melissa's back at her producer's perch announcing the new news we have. Danger Snack brings our guest, which we'll have on screen here in 1 second. You guys, if you're going to get over and order the Danger Snacks, make sure you guys use our discount code, SHITSHOW, which our guest got to see a sneak peek of that before we hit the air when we lost the audio off the mixer board. And our chat is sponsored by our good friends at BMX Rocks Photography. We got a good question for you this evening. What's your favorite? What is your favorite flat pedal brand, Damon?
Tangent.
Is Tangent, really?
Yeah.
You're not the Yoshimiri or one of those fancy ones?
Well, they wouldn't give me no bro deal like that.
Well, totally get it.
No, and I was in one of their commercials, too.
You were in the Yoshimiri?
Yeah,
yeah, when we were down at Punta Gorda. He made it in one of their commercials. Yeah.
Wouldn't give me no bro deal.
I don't have a flat pedal favorite.
You don't?
No. Just putting that out there.
I'm still a big fan of the Croupy from back in the day. Remember the round and square ones?
Well, I'm
Destroyers?
No, we're going to go old school flat pedals.
Okay, you can. I mean, there's no boundaries put on this.
Bear traps.
Oh, those things were
Hutch Bear Traps, man.
Oh, okay.
We'll get our guest input on this in a second. Tonight's Lightning Round is brought to you by our good friends over at 110 Nutrition. Look, you guys, we got a lot of sponsors. We also have some supporters of the show. So when you guys are shopping, make sure you guys hit these guys up, too. The Hack Shack, DB Sports World, Mega Design Group, and our good friends over at BMX Race Supply. All the links will be provided in the show notes. Without further ado, let's welcome our guest in. Toby, how's it going?
I'm good. How about you guys?
Happy to see you again.
So you went and asked me about pedals a second ago.
Yeah.
I got 40 stitches right here.
Oh,
a Hutch pedal. So.
Yep. Bear traps. Did you sharpen yours? Did you sharpen them up even more?
Well, it wasn't mine, but it was my fault. I cut off somebody, and when I fell, they had them on, and bam, just I got it on the side, right?
Oh,
so
God, that's
they were probably sharpened.
They were probably sharpened.
Why did we sharpen them? I have no crazy idea, but
stick in your shoes better?
Yeah.
Theoretically.
But you couldn't, I mean, your shoe was stuck once you got them in there.
That sounds terrible.
Yeah, I had a pair go up. Mm-hmm. They were the knockoff. Didn't Odyssey make a knockoff?
Yeah.
The triple trap, kind of like the Hutch ones?
Yep.
I had a pair of those, or one of those go up my shin. Terrible. Well, you've had a lot of things happening since the last time you were on the show. Let's talk here. What's the big news? What's the big part that's happened?
I don't know. I don't know how to start the whole conversation, but I did start a new company. I started a new frame brand. We launched it at the Grand Nationals. Funny story was I wasn't sure I was going to do it there, and we'll talk a little bit more about what it takes to actually get something like this done and get a product to market. I think I'd love to talk about that tonight because it's not as easy as a lot of people think. But anyway, so a couple of weeks before the Grands, we got a note that we got a tracking number for DHL that these frames and those little e-bikes I was making are on the water or in the air. So at that last minute, I called USA BMX for a contract I've been working on for quite a while and said, okay, let's start the contract. I'm coming to the Grands with these samples. We did not know that. We thought we weren't going to make it. We decided to do that anyway, just because this is the place you show things, right? Even though we weren't really quite ready for production, I just didn't want to wait a whole nother year to show everybody. So, yeah, we came to the Grands and we launched a brand called Send It. We are the organizational sponsor of USA BMX now. And we got the first turn, the starting hill, the finish line, tons of banners, tons of placement, the ads in the magazine, all that fun stuff. So that's not cheap, but yeah, we got that. And we're going after it. We got some frames in the air right now that we're going to have at the Worlds for sure.
Wow.
For all our team riders, and production is just now happening. So it takes a while from sample to production. And I think a lot of people, I think we've done a good job of promoting it. So a lot of people expect it now. Okay. And that just takes time, man. So like I said, we didn't think we were going to launch it at the Grands, but we got it done. It took me 4 months to get those frames done. The little eBMX bikes I worked on for probably 18 months to get to where they are now. And that was more of a battery thing. I just wasn't happy with the batteries that that we were, our choices of batteries. So I literally had to learn about batteries and understand 2170 versus 1860, all the stuff I had to learn, 24 volt, 48 volt, had to learn all that. So it took me about 18 months to figure that out. Huh. And once I figured it out and I knew what I wanted, then we went and had those made, and those things are done now. We're pretty excited about that. We'll get into why I'm doing that and how I think that complements BMX. I know we're gonna have a lot of naysayers on that.
Ooh,
one.
I can't wait to get into that one.
Yeah, that was gonna be a fun one. So, <All right.
laughs> so what are you saying is my little DeWalt battery is not gonna work in that e-bike?
No, and that was the whole thing. Was my first samples had a DeWalt battery in it.
How did I know?
and my neighbor kid takes off on this thing, and 25 minutes later he's walking back. Like, this is not gonna work, man. You know, so anyway, so we went, and then of course I was getting all these samples from all the battery makers that look like this, right? Yeah. And I'm like, no, that's not what a battery looks like. So anyway, so I had to design our own batteries, and that took a while. So mm-hmm.
Wow.
That's my life sometimes, but
you've been on the e-bike longer than the Send It BMX frames, right? That idea has been rolling around a little longer.
No, I think I there's a lot of things I would love to say tonight, but I don't want to let some cat out of the bag. So you got to kind of just bear with me on that. If I tell everybody, and I like to go into that too, but if I tell exactly what I'm doing, then I'm not, the surprise isn't there. And I have to, I have to surprise the market. I have to drive some of my ideas. Sometimes I fail what I'm trying to do.
Toby, but, it's just us, man. You could just talk. It's just us.
Yeah, anyway, it's just us.
It's me, Justin, and Melissa. It's just me, Justin, and Melissa, man. Just talk to us.
I just believe that you know, I've been riding. It's funny. Let's go back a little bit. So, you know, I was a mountain bike guy from, you know, I had a 10-year mountain bike career, right? Downhill mountain bike guy. And I trained my butt off on a mountain bike. And when the e-bike mountain bike thing started, I was against it. I was like, this is dumb. It's not fair. I was totally against the whole thing until one of my employees brought some in the office and said, you got to go ride these things. And the one he gave me was a piece of crap. And I went and rode it on a trail here behind us. And like, oh man, I was hooked. The next day I went and bought the best e-bike mountain bike I could get my hands on. And and that was it. I've been hooked ever since. And you know, the assist, especially at somebody my age, and then all my friends and all the people I grew up with who were the same way as me didn't believe in this. They're all on them now. So my point is, I think that e BMX or e future is there. We're going to ride things with motors in them, or e bikes, or we're going to ride them. Mm-hmm. At what level, what the bike looks like, and all that, we don't know yet. But that's my thinking. And so Stacy came out with hers. And it's a phenomenal hit that, you know, they're at the local motocross track and the kids are riding like crazy. I didn't really like the way they looked. So I don't know if you have pictures of the ones I designed, but I went after a certain segment, but with more coming. And that is something that I just, more coming than that. How's that? So, but I did this first. If you look at the batteries, they're not a DeWalt battery. That was the hardest part. I had to learn about batteries, and I'm not an engineer by any means, but I know what I want as a rider, and okay. I went and got what I wanted. So anyway, so I'm pretty proud of those. They're pretty cool. It's a whole different market. I don't think that's what I'm trying to sell as far as to you guys or your viewers, mm-hmm. but there's a huge market for that. And as I was coming up for the name, I had all these names. I'm writing them down, and I had a name that I was kind of okay with, and everything was all done. And I had Send It, the word, you know, S-E-N-D, the second word, I-T, in my list. And I'm sitting there, and I had like 100 names. And And I'm just sitting there, I looked at that, and this the whys came into my brain, and I looked at it, and I wrote it down, and go, that's it. Because, you know, for me to get a URL that's just a one word, to get a trademark and all the things it takes to support a brand like this, it's not easy. You're not going to go get the.com. I love to have that one, but you're not going to get it, right? So anyway, I could have bought it, I don't know, 15 years ago for 50 grand or something, but now it's untouchable. But anyway, so to get a name like that, something that has some kind of value, I was pretty stoked about that. And it's sticking. Everybody loves it. They like it. I think the frame you're looking at now, I think it's definitely different than anything that's ever been built. So people talk about R&Rs back in my day or whatever, but this is, for me, state of the art. Everything you could possibly do that I've been building with Box for many years, it's right there on that frame. That's Box's frame in a sense, right? Mm-hmm. It's got B52, tapered head tubes, integrated chainstays, and that straight line, when you weld behind the rear axle, stiffens up the bike like you can't believe. So there's a lot of technology in that. And anyway, I'm pretty proud of that. People, you know, I think 95% of people like it. We always got people who hate things, but so far it's been positive.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Haters gonna hate.
Yeah, so, but anyway, that's it goes amazing. Into, you know, what's it take to put something like that to market? What's it take? Yeah. What's it cost? Yeah. How long does this take? We talked about URLs and trademarks and all that stuff. And this is, you know, I think when people hate, you know, I don't know what's called couch racers or what you want to call them. They don't understand what guys like myself, Pelton, or any of the guys who do a great job in this industry. What are they, you know, what do we go through to get here? Right. So yeah, it's a little bit of work. It's what we call it. Work.
When you came up with the idea, what that timeline would it consist of? Like, hey man, I want to do frames. I want to do them under my name to where we're at right now. I know you know you showed up at Grands and all that, but like I know that idea was kicking around a while ago. So what's that idea? And kind of walk us through how that all evolves.
Well, last time, how long ago was I was here? It's been quite a year, less than a year.
A little less than a year.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. So I remember the weather was similar. So that's how I remember. But anyway,
just rub it in. Why don't you?
Yeah, I'm rubbing it in. But no. So I was kind of ABC at the time, and I went to Taipei show, and I sat with my partner at the time. I just wasn't comfortable moving forward with it anymore for various reasons. And I came home from Taipei show, and I was working on those e-bikes for myself anyway. And I just came home from the Taipei show, which is, I just got back from that. It's in mid-March. I just got back. Anyway, I came home, and I thought, I want someone to make a frame on my own. Do it myself, my wife and I. Let's just do our own thing, right? Instead of having partners, I've always had partners or help or, you know, in the past, and let's just do it ourselves. So that was probably June when I decided to draw this frame, and went and got an engineer, an awesome guy, Robert Steeman, told him my idea. We drew it, and I had a sample at the Grands. So basically 4 months, right?
Nice.
And stuff I did in the past sometimes takes 4 years. That's various reasons. And I just wanted to prove that it can be done if you put your head down. And I put my head down, I built the frame, you know. But now we have about 5 months after that sample by the time we'll actually see them. I'm not too, that's normal for everything. We have to tool up for everything. Mm-hmm. The samples at the show, those were all hand cut and drawn. But after all that, then you have to go and buy all the tools. You have to monitor the tools and how thick the tubes are. The tubes are, they're tapered. They're not the same wall thickness as through. You got to, it's a lot of work to get that done. Oh, there's my German buddy, French buddy.
Well, definitely sounds like a labor of love.
Well, I don't know.
TBD.
Just not to do it, I think. It's easy for me, and I could go make shampoo, I think, maybe, you know, or something, and figure that all out. But I just, this stuff's easy for me. So yeah, I just decided to do it myself. And I, you know, when I had the BSI, I was doing it all back then. Mm-hmm. And that's been 13 years ago. I sold that company. Wow. I haven't made a frame since. I did stuff with ABC. I designed that frame. Took a long time to get it to market. I decided to do this and myself, you know, I got about a few years left in me before you have to bury me. So,
yeah. Well, I mean, from the pictures, the frames look great. So,
well, thank you. And I think a lot of people feel the same way, and I'm pretty stoked about that. Yeah. And there's a lot of technological stuff in that frame that we could talk all night about that. So, yeah.
I wanted you we don't have to get too far in the weeds, but the B-52 bottom bracket. So
yes,
two things before we first put the videos you do. Is it on what days do you guys do them on Instagram?
Thursdays noon California time.
Yep. They're amazing.
Yes.
So
oh, really,
you did one where you broke down brakes, you've broke down this, and like you did the levels and explaining the levels and box, but you did one on the B-52. Right. And I wasn't able to watch the whole thing, and just I got busy and I didn't get to go back and catch it. But I was really, really intrigued with this technology that you're integrating with the B-52. If you could give us the kind of the overview and the advantages of that bottom bracket.
Well, 52 is a number that's an original American bottom bracket. It's 52 millimeters, right? Just happens to be 52. And that's something I didn't do. That was been around since, you know, we were kids, right? So, and then of course the B being box or BB, whichever you wanted to see it, say it. I just thought it was a cool name, so we picked B-52. But the whole point of it is, right now, when I developed the M35 crank with a 35 millimeter spindle, mm-hmm. it took a special bottom bracket.
Yes.
But that was called a BB30, which is a SRAM or FSA concept, right? And it didn't, we did well with it. A lot of frames are out there, but it just didn't really take off. And one of the reasons is the bearings are outboard. They're not inside the frame. Mm-hmm. So I still want my 35 millimeter spindle. I almost gave up on it, but about 2 years ago, our M30 cranks started to started having some bent spindles, right? I'm like, what's going on? So we went to a race and Cedric, I won't say Grassi, but that's the mountain bike guy, Cedric Cade. He started bending a bunch at a race. So I went back and watched a video, and what the guys are doing now, when they jump into the second turn at a World Cup race or a, you know, Olympic style course, big hill course, when they jump into the second turn, they're using the lip of the girl's turn as a brake. They're kind of clipping that and slowing themselves down.
Okay.
So they're going way faster than we were when this stuff was developed 9 years ago, right? So all of a sudden, this 30 millimeter aluminum spindle just doesn't work anymore. So it's, how do I go back? How do I get the weight down? How do I promote M35, which is my original reason going back to oversize and what Buck's all about? I need to put a better bottom bracket around the crank itself, or the, you know, the BB, or the spindle, I should say. So this B-52 was born. So it's basically a Euro bottom bracket on steroids. It's just huge. It's, you know, it's 52 millimeters OD. And it's 80 millimeters wide. It's just a massive, massive bottom bracket. And that allows my bearings to be inside and allows my 35 millimeter alloy spindle to go through. So we just got a frame from Marshall. It's a French company. They put B-52 in it. Mongoose is looking at it. Speedco is looking at it. Chase is looking at it. They're all making frames. Mabo was one of the first ones. They're all looking at put the bottom bracket in their bikes and go back to the M35. Because of the spindle issues and stuff. I mean, the story's so long, but it took the send it frame for me to prove it. And once people physically saw it at the brands, then we just started lining up all the other manufacturers interested in this concept, right? And to change things is really hard. You know, I was the first one to do 20 millimeter axles. That was 15 years ago, maybe 17 at this point. And now every pro has a 20 millimeter axle, right? But that was something I did 17 years ago. And for years and years, people just didn't want to change it. You know, you have to buy a hub to put it on your fork. But now it's pretty standard. And I believe the B-52 will be that way. And to prove it, I had to make a frame to show everybody how this works, right? But at the end of the day, and part of what I did when I showed everybody is we went and had my engineers, and we compared a 24 millimeter spindle, right, out of chromoly to a 35 millimeter alloy spindle. So when you leverage those and put 350 foot-pounds of torque on the pedal, there's a certain, I think that is, I won't say the numbers, it's on the website. So you get about 15 degree of flex, right? If you take a 35 millimeter alloy spindle and you get the same 350 millimeters or 350 foot-pounds of torque, it's about 10 degrees of flex. So there's a 41% difference in how much flex there is between a standard 24 millimeter spindle and a 35 millimeter alloy spindle. And the alloy spindle is actually 100 grams lighter than a 24 millimeter chromoly. Mm-hmm. So you start looking at the engineering behind that, you look at what it is, and Nick Keeman was a guy who was just a fan of M35s. He won the gold medal on M35, and then Mabo sales weren't all that hot of this BB30 thing, so they made a carbon fiber frame, they went to a different standard, and Nick complains all the time that he wants his M35 back. So the concept is you just get a much stiffer power transfer to the ground with this 35 millimeter spindle, and to house that properly became the B52. Right? Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Or
did I lose you guys?
Nope.
I live it.
They were intently listening.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just hearing a Rock Lobster song playing in my head right now.
Well, there's that. There's the bomb. There's all these other things that that happened with that, right?
So, yeah.
And we got the trademark. It's funny enough, we have the trademark for B52.
Really?
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. And in cycling or
Going to say
it all went to, yeah. There's you can have the same name in different categories.
I know, I'm just messing with
you. Trash trucks here. I think last time a trash truck came by, didn't it?
Yes.
That sounds familiar.
Mm-hmm. The last trash truck went by.
It would have been the same time, so
exactly. So he'll be gone in a second. Anyway, so B52, I'm proud of it. It's a part of our oversized program.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the handlebar, the hub, the rear hub we've been working on for years, the bottom bracket, all that stuff for me is it works. Bigger tubes are stiffer and they're lighter. It's just that simple. Mm-hmm. I learned that from my mountain bike career. I was very fortunate in my mountain bike career to experience the evolution of my very first downhill bike was rigid, and the bike I ended with was 8 inches of travel. So
wow.
Anyway, so I was able to learn all that as I was an athlete. So I just brought it to BMX, man.
Well, question for you: with the new frames, are you going to come out with a complete, or I mean, you have everything there?
Yes, in the future, yes.
Okay.
So it's all laid out. I have a, I don't know, 4-year plan, I think, of all the stuff that we're going to do. I've actually been working on that too. So over the next 4 years, we'll introduce a lot of different things, some of those being, you know, E-related. I'm going back to a steel crank on a bike for various reasons. So there's stuff that we're doing.
Okay.
I don't know. It just, there's a lot of guys, I think, that are doing similar things. Mm-hmm. You just have to put your head down and go to work, right? But yes, completes.
I mean, I could just order a whole bike from you because you have everything in house, almost everything in house.
With box and the frame now, the only thing we don't make between the two brands is an inner tube.
Yeah.
Yep. That's the only thing. So we have 700 SKUs at box.
Wow.
So 700 things in the building that you can choose from.
Yeah.
So if you're 4 years old or 400 years old, we got something to fit you.
All right, so like I said, I could just order a whole bike from you.
700 could.
And just, you guys walk to the warehouse and just pick it up, pick up everything off the shelf.
Well, don't ask me to put it together, or don't ask me to organize that for you, because I'm horrible at it.
Oh, no. Okay. I'm just saying, you know, for case people want to know, you know what I mean, you know.
Yeah, it can be done. Yeah. It can be done. It's quite expensive, though. I think a Cinder frame with all box top of line stuff is probably retailing $3,500 to $4,000, I think, mm-hmm. something like that. Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's about right for a top of the line frame. I mean, if you look at it.
That's about right.
Yeah.
So. Now, does that include the new titanium oversized handlebars?
I know those are $400. I think I'll pick them before $4,000, right?
I mean, at that point, throw it in. What's the story on the handlebars on these?
Well, you know, I wish I had one for you guys. I had to go to the dentist this morning, then I went to the gym. So mm-hmm. I came home for the interview, and I wanted to hold them because they're on my desk right now. We finally figured it out. It took 3 years mm-hmm. to get them just absolutely perfect. We had some a little bit. We were having a tough time holding the tolerances. He's going by the other way now. Can you hear him?
Yeah, vaguely.
Oh, you can't. Okay. But anyway, so it's just an oversized part. So we started looking at the bike a few years ago and go, where can we get some weight out of this thing? And the heaviest part of the bike is the handlebars, by far, more than the frame sometimes. So how do we get the weight out of this? And my partner at Box just said, let's just try titanium. I'm like, I've never seen a swedged titanium tube in my entire life. So I just don't, they don't do it. Right. So our titanium factory was over sprockets and our cogs and stuff. We asked them, they said, we'll give it a shot. sent them a crap load of money for a tool. And then they just kept breaking the tool and figuring it out and giving us stuff that were just crooked and the grips didn't fit. And, but it's amazing how over 3 years they figured it out. And the last batch we just had come in are absolutely, they're perfect. And they're, we weighed them. So the 8 inches are 600 grams where the 8 inch, maybe it's 8.5, chromoly bars are 1,000. So it's literally 40% lighter. There you go. I'm really proud of that project. I should have brought one to show you guys, but yeah, it's a really cool product. And so we got Carlos Ramirez on them. Nick just got some sent to him. We're trying to talk Cam into trying them. But it's funny, all these guys right before the Olympics don't want to change anything.
Can you blame them?
I don't care. It's lighter. I don't care. No. It's cooler. It's better. It's nope. Don't change. The Olympics are coming, man. This is not a time to ask an athlete to change this product.
Right.
Yeah.
Come August, everybody was like, all right, give me the stuff now, you know.
And after the Olympics.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
Well, they look great. Yeah. And now I wanted to hear.
$400. $400. Yeah, it's a lot. So
back to the frames real quick. Price points on the frame, really surprised, very affordable.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. I should have charged more. I should have.
Hindsight. Actually,
yeah, it's, I got, yeah, I've been working with the Frame Factory for a long time, and they gave me a price. I have this calculation I do, and I just, what I need for the company to survive and what my dealers need and my distributors need. I have a formula, and I just ran the formula is all I did. You know, and $699 is what was the number. So
very
good.
Hey,
that's very good.
Yeah, great price.
So quick question out of the chat though. When are they going to be available?
Oh man, dude, my wife's in the other room. She's going to kill me. Well, she's handling all the calls about when are they coming. No, we keep saying it's end of second quarter.
Okay.
So that's June-ish. So yeah. Like I said, we have a bunch in the air. Well, on Friday, they'll be in the air to go to the Worlds. My engineer needs to confirm those. The tubes are cut, ready to go. Once he says they're confirmed, these factories can make 1,500 frames in a day.
Sure.
Right. Whoa. So it's just, yeah. So it's just, it's all that upfront work, but actually the production doesn't take that much time. So we're thinking, you know, end of June is what we're looking at. End of second quarter. So.
All right.
Wow.
Yeah. And then the second question from Mo is, when will we see pro size stealth hubs?
Oh, Jesus. So Drew Polk's on one right now. He's been on it for quite a while. His dad had to help us with something. It was kind of funny. But a little bit of an issue we couldn't figure out. His dad, who's an engineer for IndyCar, helped us out. Nice. And Drew, we fixed Drew's hub. He's been on it for a few months. So supposedly my engineers told me Monday, I think, that we have 12 coming right now that should prove our point. Once we prove it, we go to production. So
okay.
About 3 months, I think. Hey, yeah. Yeah. But it's going to be a 10 millimeter disc brake version. The 20 mil stuff and 15 mil is not done. It's a 10 millimeter disc brake, which hopefully we can prove out that 20 mil stuff's, you know, Onyx is the only one doing run right now. So for me, that's the way to do it. So
nice.
Anyway.
Well, that's a time. That's a time frame. That's all we need, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's 5 years. Everything takes 2 to 5 years to make. Yeah, it's just what it is, man.
We've heard that from others in the industry. That's just kind of what it is. Nothing happens overnight.
You think you can put your head down and get it done in a few weeks? No way.
Too many moving parts.
The frame was 4 months. I was pretty proud of that.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah. I really had to push that, though. So, yeah.
That's awesome.
You're showing some really old photos there.
I go through and I hit the social medias and then I dump the pictures in there and then, yeah, they're fun.
Justin's an expert stalker.
But these pictures are bringing up like good memories of you, man.
What's that? It's kind of hard to see on my computer. Zapped the Christmas Classic, NBL Christmas Classic. Oh, I love that photo. Yeah. Oh, so I don't know if you guys saw what I posted about Stuart on my Facebook the other day. I wrote a big, long homage to Stuart Thompson for being the best BMXer in the history of BMX, in my opinion, and what it was like to be a bridesmaid to him many, many times. So, but anyway, that photo is me actually beating him. So I was like, I love that photo. I did beat him a few times, right? So anyway.
I just popped over to your social media to see to find that. But he is a great guy.
Yes,
we got
is.
To meet him on the cruise and just.
He has a cannon for an arm.
Oh, my God, dude.
Well, he's retired now. He's fit as can be. So,
yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if he's going to start his dodgeball training in a month or so.
Oh, yeah.
just for, you know, get out there and see him doing some crazy, crazy drills and workouts. Well, let's jump into this e-bike. You're like, we're going to have a little controversy on this. So I want to, here's my point on these. I was like, this is the dumbest thing ever. And I stood at the bike shop and,
you rode one.
It was intense, right? It was an intense one. Yeah. Intense so, it was
I was
like,
with you that day.
Yeah. I was like, you're dumb. They're dumb. And the guy that owns the bike shop is like, take it out in the parking lot. Take it out in the bike. Mm-hmm. Take it out in the parking lot. Take it out. Rode it. Like these aren't dumb. These aren't dumb at all.
These are fun.
And it because you just hear like, oh, you're not gonna pedal. Like that's not it at all. You get going and it helps you keep going. And I'm not a mountain biker. But what I thought is like, all right, we've went and rode mountain bike trails and stuff on our BMX bikes. And I thought to myself, well, if I got this pedal assist thing, this battery on this mountain bike, and it's still a legit mountain bike. If I've got an hour, and most of mountain biking is, you know, coming down a hill or going across trails, but I can do it more times in an hour just because that helps me get back to where I want to start.
Yeah.
That's worth it to me.
Yeah. That's what I did when I told you I bought the best I could find was I bought the longest travel bike I could find. It was Specialized. 180 millimeter travel, spring shock in the rear. And I would ride up. There's a lot of hills here. Right up top of the hill and bomb the downhill. So I'm a downhill guy. That's I love to do, right? And that thing takes me right back to the top with, you know, my heart rate gets to 135. You're still working out. If people think that doesn't work, bull. You got to still pedal. It doesn't work until you push the pedal down, right? It just assists you up the hill. So I can go up and do 4 to 5, maybe 6 runs before the battery's kind of depleted.
Mm-hmm.
And these are, you know, it takes about 15 minutes to go up and about 5 minutes to come down.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. 4 to 5 minutes to come down. So if I can do 5 of those in a day, I'm happy, man.
Yeah.
Right. Just it's my, all the stress is gone and back to work I go. Right. So, yeah. So I believe in it, obviously. So.
Yeah. I think it's a great idea. Seeing that you're bringing this brand in, that's going to give, I just forgot what's the name, the other company they sponsor.
Stasic?
Yes. Stasic. You know, now they're going to have somebody giving Stasic a challenge. First of all, I like the look of the e-bikes you guys have. Mm-hmm. I don't know. To me, they look more moto.
Moto.
Yeah. Pretty cool. But knowing that that's just growing and growing and growing, that's a, you know, now there's going to be somebody in there giving a little run for their money. Great idea. You know,
well, thanks. There's a few guys out there, but none of them, I don't know. There's a few of them out there, and they just don't have branding or I don't want to be politically correct. They just don't have the backgrounds. Maybe some other people do. The Stasic guys are moto guys. They came from KTM, from what I understand. I don't know them personally. And the joke on the street is, okay, the moto guys made one that looks like a bicycle. The bicycle guy made one that looks like a moto. Right? So it's kind of like, okay, how'd that happen, right? Uh-huh. But so there's events out here. Lake Elsinore has a race every weekend. I was out there a few weeks ago. I had my samples out there. Stasic had them out there. It was a kind of a big event, but there was 1,500 riders. No, wait, no, there was 1,500 parents. It was about 500 riders or 500 entry fees, about 300 riders, something like that. Some big number, right? Mm-hmm. And I got video of just the track is just like the old BMX days. There's people around the track. It's crowded. The kids are out there, and they're just blasting. They have starting gate, and the kids are blasting multiple laps on their little DeWalt battery bikes. It was big. I had my bikes out there, and I had a little ringer kid that went out there and just smoked everybody on them. And, you know, I was smart enough to find a ringer. And then So anyway, yeah, it was good. We had a lot of people interested in it. So, but I still think it's just the infancy, in my opinion. I think it's going to come. It's going to come pretty big, as long as people embrace it. How long does it take? How long they want to push back? I don't know. You know.
Where do you see that it ties into BMX racing? How do these bikes feed, help, you know, tie into BMX racing?
Well, that's the part that I just don't want. It's tough for me to want to give you guys all that because I'll give you a tidbit. So I'm coming towards the jump, right? And it's a set of quads, right? And I'm on a regular bike. I double it, right?
Okay.
What if I come to those quads and I got a little bit of assist and I quad the thing? What's going to happen then? What are you going to say to yourself when you quad what you used to double because you have a little bit of assist? Big aha moment's going to happen, right?
You got that right.
So that's just like going up the hill. You said that. You go up the hill and you get to do a downhill run. So I think it's just going to happen once. I don't think anybody, including ourselves, really know exactly how the bike should work. Mm-hmm. We don't really know, you know, how it should jump or how it should. We don't know yet because we haven't built them yet. Mm-hmm. I can tell you this. I've had my mountain bike on a BMX track and it does not work. It does not work. I'm not going to tell you why, but it's a horrible thing to ride around a BMX track because my mountain bike, it's just not built for that. So I think we have to build the bikes, we have to ride them, and we have to figure it out. And that's just not being done. Mm-hmm. And that's something that we're working on, is how do we make these bikes ride, you know, like a BMX bike, right? And I don't see that happening. Do we have shocks? Do we not have shocks? Do we, you know? So okay. I think we should pedal. I don't think we should have a throttle, you know, in my opinion, because mm-hmm. that's, for me, it's kind of crossing the line. The ones you've been showing, those are throttle, but that was a Stasic. Kind of Stasic did 40,000 of those in 2022.
What?
So, wow.
Yeah.
Did you say 40,000?
40,000 in 22. And I know I went to their factory. I saw it all. So I saw it happening. That's what got me kind of excited about that. Right. So you sell 4,000 of those. You got a nice little company.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, they need a little competition too. Nothing.
And they do.
About
I think,
that.
Like I said, there's some out there, but no one's really hitting that mark.
Yeah,
I think,
not to the same level. So. Sure.
Yeah.
Man. Wow.
That's
crazy.
There
you go.
Yeah. We're getting a few comments in there, but you guys got a question or a comment? Put it in the chat. We can pass.
Yeah,
it along.
Yeah. No, ask me. I think I'll probably want to defend my ideas, but I always do. So
that's fine.
That's just who I am.
Well,
right?
you actually kind of hit the one that's always the kind of the biggest objection, right? Is the throttle to pedal, right? Like where? And it's funny as you were saying that, I was thinking when we're watching the Supercross races, they always have that little Stasic. Like commercial within the commercial type thing they do.
Right,
and
right.
They're never at a moto track. They're always on either a BMX track or some sort of a backyard BMX track or maybe a pump track. And
right,
it's funny that you say that because, you know, they're doing moto dudes doing pedal bike or BMX things.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But,
from the business standpoint, we have to worry about insurance and what insurance companies look at versus pedal versus throttle.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you have the Saran phenomenon out here in California. I don't know what it's like in Michigan, but every kid in this neighborhood is riding a $4,000, you know, e-bike, throttle e-bike.
Yeah.
It's supposedly street legal, right? And they're ripping around the neighborhood here. And we have these big dirt trails back here and they're up on the trails. And, you know, I don't know where these kids get the money, but they all got them, you know? So that's huge right now, but that's a throttle. It's not pedals. So they're impounding the bikes. The police are looking at it. So I keep thinking, I don't know where that's going to go, but that's not, for me, that's more of a motorcycle kind of, you know, thing.
Yeah.
You know, let them have that business. But it's huge right now. All the sales guys that work for us, they tell us about the sales of a machine like that right now are just huge. Like these Stasics. It's bigger than anybody can imagine, for sure. That's why Harley bought Stasic. You know, Harley's own Stasic, Harley Davidson.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, there's reasons behind all that, right?
Yeah. I mean, for Harley, get them on a Harley, they'll stay on a Harley.
I don't know if they're thinking the business is good or they want to get that kid when he's young. I don't know.
they want to get him when he's young.
Yeah. Look, you're 3 years old. You're three. Here's your first Harley, and here's your little vest.
That's a rider's going to ride.
Yeah, well, I mean, you got to think about it because, you know, at one point, Harley got rid of the Buell. Their sport bike brand, and now they just brought it back.
Yeah. Mm.
So, you know, you got that 18 to roughly 30-year-old that rides sports bike, and they was like, well, let's bring them back, you know, bring them back on a Harley.
Man.
They know where the market is.
When you were saying how, you know, we were just saying the 40,000 bikes and this and that. In 2019, went to X Games up in Minnesota, and they had them there. They built They knocked down the high, like the step-up jump from Thursday night. They knocked it down. They made a pump track over here where you could, one of the companies was there, you could get a BMX bike, a mountain bike, or whatever, and you could ride their little pump track they made overnight. And over here was a Stasic track. And you know, Harley sponsors the X Games. So I turned to my buddy. There was no line to go to the pump track and ride whatever bike you wanted to pick. They had a couple hundred. You just take whatever. The line for the little kids to ride those Stasics was probably a quarter mile long. And I remember tapping him and going like, that right there is the future. Like it's there. And this is in 19, you know, like right there. Like the line was ridiculous. They had them hooked up. They had a generator behind their truck and they're charging them back there.
Charge them all. Yeah. Charge those dual batteries.
Yeah. And actually it's funny because I remember him looking down. He's like, dude, they look like a drill battery. And we look, we had to wait for the kids to come around and like, I think they are. That's
yeah. So you guys are like, so the joke at the Stasic races are the kid comes in for a battery and diaper change. That's like well, when the battery's done, the diaper needs to be changed at the same time. So
not untrue. That is hilarious.
So you were saying there's like the big events with just the Stasics only, well, or let's just, you know, the e-bikes there. But I don't think we've seen that yet.
No.
You
see like one or two pop up at a track, yeah, here, but not like a whole event or nothing around here.
Is it all over? Is it like to an area by you?
No, I mean, Southern California always breeds, I don't know, newer stuff because we have the weather.
Sure.
Right? But no, there's the whole thing where these guys are, if you have your, so I don't say Supercross, Arena Cross. So they tear the Arena Crosses down a little bit and run Stasic type races after Arena Cross races. Oh. Or you have your indoor motocross little pit bike races, they run Stasics in that. And that's all over, especially the Midwest, up where you guys are at. Mm-hmm. So that's everywhere for sure. And of course, a lot of the tracks, San Diego BMX track, they have one night that's just Stasic night. So they don't intermingle the kids. So when those parents come down, spend $20 to let their kid buzz around on the track and until his battery dies. But anyway, no. So from my understanding, there's just one night at a track in San Diego here where it's just Stasic night. And out in eastern part of San Diego, there's another track that has the same kind of, I don't know, people coming in and spending the time and the money to ride the Stasics around the track. So that's all happening too. Mostly Southern California.
So is that where you'd be taking your ringer at the practice and ride?
No, I took it. Well, I took it's one of my dealer's kids, but he just happens to be really good. He's a motocross kid. And you know, we needed a good start because it was like they had 20, 30 kids on the gate, man. You know, so I just got a kid that could get out of the gate pretty good. And so that was basically some put our bike out front. I got a video of it. It's hilarious.
You grabbed a future Jet Lawrence and we're like, all right, kid, get out there.
I want to say hi to Chris and Shelly. They're over in Europe watching the show. That's where Chris and his bride, that's normally Chris is with us normally. He's on vacation. Okay. And they just
tuned in. Congratulations, huh?
They're living it up.
You know, Chris does stuff like that. He just calls and says, hey, man, next week and the following week, Shelly and I will be in Europe. Like, okay, see you later, buddy.
Well, there's my wife and I. That's a nice photo. She'll probably appreciate that.
Yeah, like I said, pretty professional stalker here.
Is that a water hole jump?
That's a water hole jump at Frogtown. Yes,
that's
called Glory Hole.
Yes.
Glory Hole.
And if you made it, you deserve some glory because that was not an easy jump. You come out of a flat turn, get about 3 or 4 pedals in. And when you're overweight and a little out of shape, it ain't easy. So,
nice. But at least you can still do it, though.
I was barely, but I was doing it barely.
Ooh, it's 1:45 in the morning.
Where they're at.
Yeah, that's about right.
Shelly says we're going back to sleep. It's 1:45 a.m. I did have a question from the chat. Our buddy Chase says he's curious why you, Toby, chose the style axle adjuster on the Sendit frame.
Oh, well, it was trying to get less is more. So I want to integrate it inside the bike. It's a good question. But I was talking to a dad last week at Sea Otter, BMX dad, He's at the mountain bike race, and he says that how many times the kids in the they're all getting ready to go in the starting gate. They're all practicing. They're bouncing off each other trying to get in the starting gate.
Sure.
And they poke all their tire from the bolt sticking out of the back. Mm-hmm. Or how many times the kid had been cut by those bolts sticking out of the back. But I want an integrated one because less is more. And I've seen that done before on bikes I've done before. My Intensa's had that inside the back. You know, just a DK's done it. So it was nothing really new. This was just a much cleaner, upgraded version of it. And then we came up with a little dial that you can turn it with your hand and adjust that whole thing. But remember, you guys, that's just to get the wheel straight.
Yeah.
And then tighten your bolts up. It's not the whole stuff. It's just a set stuff. But that's a good question. I think it was just a clean it. Less is more. Right? There you go. Perfect pictures of it. And part of that, so we talked about earlier how the seat stay is welded to the back of the dropout. That's a huge difference in the way the bike is stiff. So that for me is part of how we integrated that inside, because I didn't want that hanging out the back. Anyway, it's a little bit of a few things like that to get it right. But yeah, there it is.
Very cool.
This one right here.
My little mountain bike chain protector. That's a little mountain bike thing. And the hole there, that's a comes from the GT Speed Series. Mm-hmm. I had one of those for a long time when I rode for GT, and I just thought that hole was cool. And little details like the badge there, that's just stuff that we kind of do, right? So, yeah.
That's very cool.
It's a sharp looking frame.
Yeah.
If I didn't mention it earlier, very comfortable price point, too. You guys, man, so you announced it right at Grands, and we talked before the show, so you know, we've been doing the show for 4 years, but we've been in and out of BMX for, I know, 20 years plus for myself,
30 plus me.
I gotta tell you, you did like a heck of a job with the branding, the name itself, right? But I mean, all of a sudden, like, I don't even know what your wait list is for these frames. But if it's a quarter of the hype that I've seen on social media and being at tracks and people talking about them, like, kudos, because you nailed it.
Well, we pre-sold a lot, especially to Europe, to Australia.
Really?
Wow.
Nice.
They're buying tons of them. They buy them up front. Helping the whole program, getting these bikes pre-sold is helping a bunch. But but yeah, I don't know if you were there, but you saw our little runway, like a movie premiere thing, where we had the red carpet and the bikes with the ropes, and we gave away a bike, and you know, we had the whole first turn, the starting hill and the finish line banners, and we could have had the first straightaway. We own the first straightaway, but I couldn't find anybody to make us a stencil big enough for the logo, right? I was like, I had 2 weeks to put all this together, right?
Wow.
So how do we had the name, we had the frame. It wasn't like it was, but to put all that together, it was, like I said, I call USA BMX. I went, drove straight there, signed the contract, said, okay, this is what we've been talking about for a year and or 9 months, whatever it was. And okay, then here's your check, right? And then okay, now the team has to go and do these things. So one of that was the first jump or the first straightaway to put our logo on the ground. But I couldn't get anybody to make me a stencil before the race, for the first turn, right? Otherwise, we would have had something there. But anyway, so yeah. But we think the red carpet with the ropes and all that was really cool. And of course, they didn't have any room. So now I'm asking the USA BMX, hey, I got to have a spot. I'm like, there's no spots, man. It's like, I'm your organizational sponsor now. So I got to find spots. So they put us next to the trophies, which wound up being really cool.
Yeah.
He said all the gold from the trophies. We had the runway with the bikes and we did all in 2 weeks, man.
Wow.
To get to, you know, the table covers and the ropes. And yeah, it was a busy couple of weeks. Stuff were coming to my house. I'm putting stuff in the box van and we're flying stuff there and missing stuff. Calling Amazon to the hotel. And yeah, it was quite a bit of a feat. So.
You've got teams already set up.
Yeah.
Like, they've really embraced the frame and the name and everything. We have Midwest teams popping up. Our friend Stephen Latchford's on one of your Midwest teams, which kudos. I'm glad to see you back riding your bike. Mm-hmm. Lots of hype, good feedback around it.
I'm going to give my wife credit for everybody, other than the factory team, which is Donovan and I. We've been working together for, since VSA, 20, 25 years.
Wow.
He's the one who helped me build Intense back in the Phantom On-Track days. I don't know if you guys remember that.
Oh, yeah.
When he sponsored that. And but Donovan and I have been working together for a long time. So I did that deal with Donovan. My wife's handled all the other teams. She's done a pretty good job, man. So Everybody, a lot of teams reached out. We did some stuff at the Grands. And I mean, she's not, doesn't have BMX background, but she just, you know, this is something we're doing together. And we, she took that on herself and she signed all these teams up, 11 of them or something like that.
Wow.
150 riders or something we have. So
nice.
Yeah. Excited about that. Yeah.
You see what Chris said?
Worked no.
That bro, Chris said worked that bro deal for him.
I think he said I am.
Here we go again. Talk to my wife. She's pretty good at it.
So what's this was one of the Instagram videos when you got talking about tires a little while back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's talk tires for a few minutes. We like first of all, I got them on my bikes.
Awesome.
Big fan of them. Very big fan.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. I don't know. It goes back to my mountain bike experience. It was funny. If I go back to the very beginning when I got in BMX. So I was a mountain bike guy. I retired in 98 and I hadn't been to a BMX track in over 10 years. And I think 2000, I started THE and then I decided to go to the BMX race to figure the whole thing out. And I went to the track and I looked down at the track and I saw these big bowl berms and blue grooves and everything. And I'm thinking, what is this? Why does everybody ride these big lug tires? These bottom brackets are through the roof. The head angles are steep. I don't understand, man. What is all that? So I basically started designing stuff that I don't think anybody put their head down and looked at it, at least from a rider standpoint. Mm-hmm. But the tire, I happened to have a tire and I was at a World Cup race. And the track became really smooth and blue grooved out. And you don't want a knobby tire. You want a lightweight, fast rear tire so you can pedal. So I went back to my sponsor, or my mechanic. I said, hey, we got to put this tire on my bike. That's a cross-country tire, Toby. You're going to flat. I put the tire on my bike. Trust me on this. And I won the race because it was just a tire change. So that same concept of that tire, I just basically brought that to the BMX track. I go, why are we riding big lugs? It's just, there's no dirt. There's just a big blue groove. It's smooth. So anyway, I made the intense micro knobby from that experience, right? Hugely successful. We were selling tons and tons and tons of those. So when I sold that company and finally went away, I figured it would. But so the whole intense thing fell apart. And then I decided, well, how can Box make more money? I go, let's make a tire, man. I've done it before. Let's make a tire. So yeah, it's basically an upgrade version of my intense micronomy. Other people have tried that. I think the Tioga power block was similar. The V rubber tires were similar. So yeah, I just made a better one. I think found the right manufacturer, found the right TPIs, found the right beads, and find the right guy, and paid the tooling, and all like back to all what it takes to make a product, right? So yeah, so I got a good joke for you. So the dads come to me all the time and they say, hey, I got this idea for a tire.
I bet they do.
Yeah, I got this tire. So, well, the first one's $5,000 right. And the second one's $50. What? Whoa. I go, well, if you want to risk $5,000 on your idea, which is the tool, because we never know what a tire is like until we actually make one. There's no way to sample a tire or prototype a tire. It's impossible. You have to make this five. Now they're probably $6,500 for a tool, and you got to make the tool, and then you got to bust out a tire and you got to go ride it, see if it works. You don't know, right? So there's a big risk on making a tire. So that's my joke to dad, and no dad's ever given me $5,000. So.
That's yeah. Funny.
Yeah, no.
But anyway, about right, that. So Justin, you got them on your bike?
I do, and I got the. I'm running on my 20, the 1.9 box hex, and man, so I was running the Tioga, the
power blocks,
and okay. The thing I noticed right away was the maybe ride like three, you know, during the summer here, maybe 3-4 times a week, man, they would wear out, like it was crazy. Ooh. Great tire, but like they just wore out, and I hit up DB Sports and I said, hey, can you get me the box ones? I want to try them. Because, you know, people are raving about them. One, I just like that they look like an intense micro knob. Yeah, I like those tires. So I'm like,
same guy designed it. Yeah. Yeah.
So, man, I put them on and I've rode them for a while and they don't wear out and they still stick good. They're good out of the gates and all this stuff. Yeah, look, I'm having fun on my bike, but overly impressed. And I'm like, tires, whatever, tires. But I'm like, wow, these have lasted. They're really good. You know, yeah, I recommend.
Well, like I told you, my mountain bike career, tire races are won or lost with your tires. That's the most important part, you know, on a downhill bike. It's so important with, you know, flats and how fast tires are, how well they hook up and all that. But BMX tracks are so similar, right? So it was easy. And that tire, I focused a little bit more on USA BMX tracks, not so much the big tracks, the big hill tracks. I really think my customers are people who actually ride on a kind of somewhat of a normal track, a little bit more dirt, a little bit looser dirt. So that's why one of those knobbies on the side, I want that strip down the center to come out of the gate. And I think when you're going straight, you don't need much. That's why I have those small grooves. But as soon as you start to turn a little bit on a track with a little bit of dust on top, you need something to grab it. And that's the whole point of what we used to call the micro knobby, right? So,
yeah, I love the micro knobs.
Great. It was a great time in BMX. It was a great time.
I still got a pair in the garage.
Well, I'm trying to kind of, I don't know if I should say that, but I'm trying to do the same thing I did 15 years ago. I got THE back. So THE is now mine again. So I'm pretty excited about that.
Really?
Really?
So,
wow.
Yeah. So I got excited. There's some stuff going on with that.
Breaking news.
Well, I mean, it'd be a while before you probably see anything, but we actually showed some handguards at the mountain bike race last weekend.
Sweet.
So, yeah. Okay. So plastic stuff. So I don't know what it is. Plastic and bicycles. I've been doing that for a while. So. But yeah, so it kind of fell back in my lap. So I got it, and we'll figure out something to do here in the future. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
You excited to go to the Worlds this year?
Yeah, I am. I mean, Box has been a sponsor of the, you know, well, THE was the sponsor of the Olympics in 2008, number plates, right? So I've sponsored the Olympics every single Olympic, and Box has been the last, let's see, 2012, I think we did it. Or was that THE in 12? I forget. But we've been sponsoring, you know, the Box has been sponsoring USAI World Cup and World Championships for 10 years now, and all the Olympics in between. So I'm excited about that because I don't really get the chance to go overseas when the Worlds come. But I did go to North Carolina a few years ago when they had the Worlds there. I enjoyed that. So I get to see the number plates on all the bikes. Pretty exciting. Get to hang out with USAI people. We get a big booth there. Don DeLong's taking the booth. He's driving. He's in Tulsa right now at the World Cup. He's taking the big booth to the Worlds. And I've never ran a booth all the way to the East Coast before. Never in 10 years. Well, he's 12 years old. Never ran anything to the East Coast. It's just expensive, right? But I think with Sendit helping Donovan and the both companies kind of helping, it was helped a little bit easier to get there and have this big giant Box booth that we'll have that's a part of our sponsorship with USAI. And we've never done it before. We have that sponsor. We have that space, and we just never used it. So anyway, I'm excited about that.
Nice.
Yeah.
Sounds awesome.
So if everybody going to the Worlds, make sure you stop by and and say hi.
You know.
Yeah. You know. Yeah. It's funny because we started this thing last year called Factory Up with Box, and we have it's on the back of the postcard. I think it's 12 or 15 companies now that will pull from our Level Up program. So Level Up got changed to Factory Up, and our Level Up program is huge success for Box. We have well over 1,000 kids who have come in, filled out forms, bought a jersey with their name on it, and get discounts on the Box stuff. So we turned that into Factory Up. So what we did was we signed, like I said, 15 or 20 companies who are now have a window into the kids fill out a form after every race. I got this result. Here's my Instagram. They have this profile inside of our computer system. So if you're GT and you're part of Factory Up, you can actually look inside of our programs and see that kid. Or if you're looking for a 12-year-old expert kid in Michigan, you can go in our program and query 12-year-old expert Michigan, and you'll get a group of kids that we have, and you can look at all the profiles, right? This race, we're kind of playing to all those sponsors, all those guys that got in bed with us on this program, and we're displaying all of their bikes with Box parts on it. And so it's the first time we've done that. So when you go to the race, you'll see, well, we did at the Grants. I think we started at the Grants, but you'll see all of our, you know, partners, I should say, with their bikes at the Worlds with all the Box parts on it. So it's pretty cool. And the new Marshall bike with the B52 will be there. And yeah, it's pretty cool.
I've followed them for a while because they've got a pretty cool different design, like their story. The guy one guy's designed perfume bottles, but he also helped like take the inspiration on that bike frame from jet fighters. And but his background was making designing the perfume bottles. And I remember stumbling on him what 3-4 years ago. I was talking about him, and pretty cool look. So I'll be looking for that bike to take a peek at it when there.
Yeah. We just built it up today. They want me to hand carry it to Tulsa. I'm like, what's it gonna, I don't think I'll fit in my car, but okay. Hand carry it like to Tulsa. We'll see. I'll see how that goes.
So. Oh, man, you driving all the way to Tulsa?
No. Okay, just to the airport. All right. I have a small car. It's not gonna take a whole bike box. And I have my kid take me to the airport. My wife and I have a kid will take me to the airport and drop us off. So I got to put a bike, 3 people in the car.
Yeah.
Hey, we're gonna jump over real quick and do a chat check in. There's some people that want to say hi, so we like to pass that along. If any of you guys got any questions, now's the time to get them in. We're gonna throw it over to Melissa for our BMX Rocks chat check in, and then when we come back, we'll do our trivia question. Now you can't answer that though, Toby. So Melissa's got a good question. If you guys were paying attention to Toby, you might have a chance at getting this one. Melissa, how's the chat going this evening?
Oh, great. I'm going to say hi to Sean Gifford. Brian Fell's checking in. Low and Slow is over on YouTube, as is Robert Cardoza. Thanks for being with us tonight, guys. Jane Cardoza says hi from her and the dogs at Camp Bow Wow. Trevor, I'm going to say maybe Bahan. Is tuning in, as is Nick Sekzwa, maybe. And mentioned Stephen Latchford. He says, what's up, Toby? Let's see. Scott Sloan's also tuning in, old school. Noah Robinson is with us, saying what's up. Rick Carter also tuning in. I think he was just at... the Sea Otter
race.
Yeah, the classic this past weekend, too. Matt Homer's tuning in. Boogie Page is also checking in. It's a name we haven't seen in a while. What's up, sir? Mark Anthony says, yo. Len Novak says, what's up, everyone? Don't get to hang out. He's at Grayson's soccer practice. Well, kids call.
They just got home from Houston. Yeah, already at soccer practice.
Yeah, well, hi to Mo. We answered a couple of his good questions earlier. Scott Foster also tuning in. Haven't seen that name in a second. Sorry, I'm trying to read ahead. Is he coming back out?
That's what he says.
Okay, all right. We mentioned Chris and Shelley were tuning in over from England. And they're back off to snooze land, hopefully. Let's see who else I got.
Chris
here.
Looking for his bro deal.
Yeah, always. Stoney McGee is with us. Oh, Ronnie Anderson also tuning in, sharing a couple of Toby's number one moments here. Mentions the 1984 NBL number one cruise title.
Yeah, thank you.
Which I guess dethroned Brent Patterson at the time.
Yep.
Taking us back in time a little bit there. Let's see. Who else am I missing? Alice Bixler also shared that in the 50s, Harley had a 125.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. For anybody that didn't know that. Moses Tillman is hoping that you are going to be seen on that cruise in December.
A cruise is not my favorite thing to do in the first place, but I don't know. I heard it's pretty fun, so I don't know. We'll see. I heard you guys are having a good time.
We can attest it's a great time. It's a great
time. Yep. We need a ringer for our dodgeball team.
you guys all went? You've been on the cruise?
Yeah.
We've been on once. Damon, you're what? On your?
This will be my third
this
one.
This is going to be your third. It's going to be our second. Yeah.
Wow. Great time. It's a
best vacation.
It is. And, you're hanging out with a BMXers from all walks of life, and there's no race to distract you, so you just kind of hang out. And Mo has activities throughout the 5 days. You're on the boat, and you get to go do different things and meet people, and it's a lot of fun.
You bring your fishing gear this time?
Nope. Now that I've been on one, I ain't worried about fishing.
He's all right. Yeah.
He's all right. Yeah.
He's all right.
Top shelf margaritas.
Right.
10 a.m. Let's go.
Somebody's got it.
Ooh, I don't know about that.
All that's right. What you say now.
Yeah, exactly. Catch me in December. And lastly, I want to give a shout out to Tim Weiss, who's also turning in on a Wednesday evening. So thanks, guys. Let me just make sure I'm all the way down here. Oh, wait a minute.
Yep, she just tuned in.
Well, the one and only lovely Halana is also tuned in. That would be Justin's daughter, so we appreciate you. I had sent her a photo that said, you know, we were on.
Viewers up.
That's right. That's right. So thanks, everybody, for jumping in. If anybody's got any questions or anything before we get totally wrapped up with Toby, don't hesitate to put it in the chat. And now you want me to keep talking and do my trivia, huh?
Well, you can, or I got a question for Toby.
All right,
fire
go
away,
for it.
Then we'll do the trivia.
All right. So this is just a personal question of mine. 20 or 24, which bike did you like riding more?
24.
Yeah.
Okay. I just suits me better. And now 26 or now 27 and a half.
I mean, I'm just saying, in your racing career, you were good on both. I was just curious. That's why.
Yeah, I found that when I rode the 24 really well, it kind of hurt my 20 career, you know, because it was kind of hard to go back. You know, a lot of guys didn't do it because when to go back and forth between the bikes, it was a little bit tough. But there was a time where nothing got in my way. And just, you know, there was times where just everything felt right, especially the Hutch days. I mean, the bikes were amazing. And, you know, we were way ahead of everybody else on the equipment. And so I did well on both. But for you, Damon, on my 24, how long were my cranks versus my 20? What do you think I ran? Very few of us did it, but I did it.
185s.
185s on my cruiser.
And I knew it.
On my 20, yeah. So that was, but I think that had a lot to do with the starts and how to, but to spin 185s on the first straightaway, man, that's some work. So.
People are like, there's no way somebody running 185s right now.
No, I don't know if the tracks are different or not, but no. I don't think so. I don't think anybody makes them anymore, do they?
Wait, yeah. Didn't we get
I see 180s a lot, but not 185s.
No, we did have 185s. I don't know if they still make them. We did a fundraiser for Melissa's mom, and Answer sent a set of, what's their cranks? Answer something or other. They sent them for us to raffle off, and they were 185s. I remember holding them up, and I'm like, I think I know two people, Damian McComb.
Oh,
yeah. He might use these, and Josh Brunt. I was like, wow, it's been a minute since I've seen cranks that long.
Everybody that's over 6'6" can run 185s.
They're 9X frame.
Yeah.
All right, let's jump into trivia, man. So we got I saw the question pop up. It's a good one.
Yes.
You guys are paying attention. I do. And welcome Die Job Apparel to sponsoring the Lightning Room. If you guys are looking for a way to elevate your brand, jerseys made, you got t-shirts, everything, koozies to...
Keychains,
and I'm forgetting
hats.
You name it.
Yeah. Shirts, he does it.
Socks, Christmas ornaments.
Yeah.
Tumblers.
Yes. Yeah, Melissa, you got tumblers back there somewhere, don't you?
I think it's upstairs.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Come on. I don't get to do this very often. Single shot.
Oh, we need it.
Sticker pack, all sorts of new stuff in there. Justin and I went and reorganized the treasure chest in the spare room and found all sorts of new stuff. There's even a little ghetto-ware keychain there at the bottom. Also, thank you to now his name just left my brain.
Oh, Huck's dad, Kern.
Huck, this is that he rides for
Huffy.
Thank you. And this is a chain 10. No, this is valve stem covers. Yep. Okay.
Well, it looked like, yeah.
Damn. I practiced it like 3 times in my head and I still effed it up. He's like, just put them on your truck. I'm like, what? How does that translate to BMX? But I got all confused. Okay. And then I got.
Can't believe I haven't put them on your truck yet.
Well, you know.
I heard you get like an extra quarter horsepower out of them.
I doubt. Right. 2016 almost 200,000 mile truck is gonna get much better at anything.
That's it.
All right.
I get more miles than you.
Well, there you go. All right, I got a nice blue bombshell size large t-shirt going out to the winner here.
I can
All right. Well, we didn't talk too much about this. Mm-hmm. We did more so in the first time we talked with Toby. But he did mention it again this evening. So my question is, how long in the number of years, how long was Toby's mountain bike career?
Oh, it's a good one. Because he said it. And he just was like, yep, right by it.
That's right. Yeah. So how long was Toby's mountain bike career?
I got, yeah.
And it's Dave is not Tom Brady.
Yeah, it's not Tom Brady. Well,
he actually won last week. So.
Yeah, no. Yeah. Why? We're waiting for a winner here, and we'll check in 1 second and get the answer. Damon, you ready to tell him who's on next week?
Ah, okay.
It's only taken 3.5 years to get this young lady on the show.
Wow.
Ah, the godmother herself,
mm-hmm.
Alex Blixer.
Yep.
She'll be joining us next week, so make sure you tune in.
I'm pretty excited.
Alice.
Melissa's already
I think she's on the ballot for the Hall of Fame, too.
Yes, she is.
She was in, wasn't she in last year?
I think she was inducted last year.
Yeah, she was inducted. Yep.
Oh, okay. Yep.
Either way.
We just had a Hall of Fame meeting a few weeks ago, so her names are out. Well, yeah.
It doesn't matter.
She got a Hall of Fame after her name, no matter what.
She's
OG.
She's going to be on talking about the new Florida BMX Museum project that they have going on. They got a Facebook page they started. They're working. She gave me a little tidbit. They're working on. They're trying to get like a brick and mortar going for Florida. So she's going to talk that. Alice has been involved in Sarasota for a long time, and she has Haps Cycle. She's into everything, and she owns the only red All Things BMX show number plate.
And she watches our show pretty religiously, which is such an awesome thing.
It'll be fun.
Where would they put the Hall of Fame at in Florida?
Alice is behind it.
TBD.
Sarasota.
Yeah.
It's going to be Sarasota. That's where it's going to be if Alice is behind it. Okay. So
that's a good question. I mean,
We'll be able to ask.
Yeah.
Yeah. It'd be good times.
Well, when is Chris coming back?
He's off next week, and then he's back the following week.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, yep. Well, Toby, I wanted to throw it over to you, and if there's anything else you wanted to add before we get our trivia. I do have an idea of maybe some upcoming Send It products, as you alluded to through the show. So I'm excited to see where you're going. Excited for the frame launches. I know you have tons of people waiting for them. It's been really cool to see that. But anything else you wanted to add before we slide out of here?
No, I just being here with you guys is awesome. I appreciate you inviting me back, and especially with the new brand. It was really nice to have you guys here with me again to explain what I do and what I'm trying to do and let me talk a bunch, you know, all that fun stuff. So. My wife's texting me, let them talk.
Not at all. You had a story to tell. That's the way to do it.
I got a lot of stories, so that's the problem.
We appreciate that.
I'm just saying, if you need a 53-year-old fat test rider, I'm your guy here, okay?
I get that probably, not that exact comment, but that's probably daily. Hey, the one the other day, my wife's trying to read it. The message guy wanted me to build him a 53-year-old guy who wanted inch and eighth wheels on his bike.
What?
And I'm like, this makes no sense. And he has some, I don't know. She's like, what's he mean? I'm like, I don't know. The guy's not all there. I don't know.
Nah.
Anyway.
Well, I'm not going to lie. I do love your cranks, though.
You want me to give a hint for the mountain bike thing?
No, I have a winner.
You do for sure?
Yes.
What's the answer?
But you can go ahead and say the answer.
Got the winner. It's the same as my BMX career. Same exact number.
Yes.
Yes.
That's a good hint, actually. Only because I feel like I saw that in our intro. I think it's it's in the intro. Yeah. Our written intro that you were in. Let's see if I can pull it up.
Oh, I got it up here.
So from 79 to 88, and then from 88 to 99. Does that sound about right?
You're close.
Close. Yes. Okay.
Yes.
Ish.
Yeah. Ish.
Ish. So
I retired at 98, but yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So relatively speaking, your mountain bike career was how long then?
10 years.
10 years. That's right.
And it was 10 years with BMX too.
And 10 years with BMX. Yeah.
Wow.
You know, like when I was reading and kind of, I hate using this word, research. It's just reading. I would have thought you'd been in long. I thought you were in the BMX racing a lot longer because you done, especially with since the last show when you were on, you've done a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, so when I was at high school, we had high school motocross, right? We had Letterman's jackets in high school. It was a California thing, right? So we would go get different high schools and race on the weekends. Oh, so nice. I was digging ditches all week long and racing my motorcycles on the weekend. I had some BMX, you know, when I was 12 mm-hmm. and 13. And Jeff Otima was a family friend of mine. So he comes over one night, starts telling me about he's racing BMX again. He's riding for DG and he's doing these things. He goes, hey, I'm racing this weekend in Downey at some park. Why don't you come over and watch me race? So I went and raced my motorcycle that morning. I'll never forget. I made $70 a week and two tires cost $70. I'll never forget that, right? So that's what it took all week long to buy tires for my motorcycle. Anyway, so I went on a Sunday afternoon and Botima wins this little race in a park. Mm-hmm. They basically put some cones down and he raced around this little grass park and he won $300. I'm like, what?
Cool.
$300. This was 78. So that Monday morning I sold that motorcycle, right? $1,500, went straight to Ralph's Bicycles. This is a true story. And bought the best red line bike I could get my hands on, which was, you know, Bullseye hubs and Campy cranks and all this fancy stuff, right? $1,500 BMX bike back then, right? And there was become a pro back then, you had to win 16 and over. We didn't have novice, and you had to win 16 and over. So mm-hmm. we had the race at the Forum. It was an indoor race, NBA race, and I was focused on making money on my bicycle. So I went to that race as a 16-year-old, and I won that race. So that was 78. I'm trying to get you the timeline.
Yeah.
So 78, right? This is the end of 78. So now then Jeff calls DG and he gets me this factory ride from DG. And so there's the picture I was telling you about of Stu and I mm-hmm. on my Facebook. Let's see that photo. USA BMX got some of Chuck Robinson's photos. And there's a picture of Stuart and I going in the first turn. It's my very first pro race. And I'm like inside of Stuart. And my leg is up over my head trying to go around this berm. It's a crazy photo. And that's the first time Stuart ever saw who I was, right? Yeah, right there. So that's my very first pro race, right? And look at my foot on the berm. Stuart's cut me off, right?
Oh, I see that.
So, and I just said, you know, this was my life with this guy, right? There's so many photos of me right there under Stuart's arm, right? So anyway, so that's my first pro race. That would be 79. Then we went to Wright for Raleigh. So I raced all the way till 88, 10 years, right, as a BMXer. And that, I only got out of that because freestyle started happening and we all lost our rides. So yeah. JT Racing was who paid me an entire 20 years of my career, called me up and said, hey, there's this new sport called mountain biking. I'm going to send you this bike. He sends me this specialized top of line, specialized rock hopper or whatever it was, stump mm-hmm. jumper. Mm-hmm. Anyway, no shocks, anything like that on it. And said, you're going to race this thing. So I put all my gear on. I went to this mountain bike race and got myself, you know, my ass handed to me. And I'm like, okay, so I'm not the best bike rider in the world. I figured this all out. So at that point forward, I just started learning how to change my body, start to train, start to do a completely different, because it was, you know, I was a sprinter and this was a long distance thing. My body was not ready for riding up mountains. So took me a couple years to figure it out. Then downhill came. So I have BMX skills and I have a fitness. And when downhill happened, I fell right into it and went on for racing that mountain bike for the next 10 years, right? So,
nice.
Yeah. So 1998. I was 38 years old when I quit.
The 88 time frame, is that, were you in that window? Was that when Tomac got in it too? Or was he already been in it?
Yeah, for sure. He was right for Mongoose. He got into it. I didn't really cross his path. Well, I guess that's not true. 89 or so, we went to a race in Georgia. I was still an expert. I could not win a cross country race. So at the back then, you had this discipline where you race three events: slalom, downhill, and cross country. Mm-hmm. And they put all your points together to come up with the winner, right? So Tomac was pro, and I was expert. I hadn't made the pro class yet. And Anyway, so I won the downhill and the slalom, beat him like no tomorrow, right? And but he won the pro class, he won the cross country. So his combined times, you know, he won the pro and I won the expert. So they give him a few $100 or whatever it was back then, and they handed me a pair of handlebars. I'm like, this is not going to work, winning handlebars. How do I pay my bills, right? So, yeah, I was about ready to give up on the whole thing, and then downhill happened.
Okay.
So, but he never really came to downhill because he was so good at cross country. Yeah. He never really came to downhill until his cross country career started slowing down, which is well into the mid or early, okay, you know, 90s, right? So,
yeah.
That, he was really good. He was good at that too. Yeah. So
that helps me date because he was here in Michigan, the bike shop that he, you know, got started in BMX and kind of stayed in contact with even through his bike career. That was my local spot. So like, I can remember all the Tomac hype and like the, they still have the, was it a World Cup? It's one of his first frames under his name that he did that he won. I think it's hanging up in the bike shop still. Yeah. That helps me put that together.
Well, he's Michigan. You're right. He's from Michigan.
Oh yeah. Everybody's met Tomac, even if they haven't met him. Kind of like Kid Rock here. Everyone's met Kid Rock and hung out with him. Like, really? Everyone.
No. Cool. So who's the winner, Melissa?
It would be Matt Homer.
Matt, what's up?
Yeah, and he says, D, just take his prize pack to him.
Okay.
You can deliver it.
He can save me some postage.
We'll meet at the pump track.
There you go.
Yep.
Yeah, thanks for playing along. And actually, Brian Fell also had the right answer in there.
Mm-hmm.
So a couple others were close.
Brian cheated. He knows me too well.
Yeah, nice. I can kind of figure that.
Well, yeah. I want to say thanks again for joining us. And we look forward to, if you'd like, man, we'll have you back for a third show. And we'll talk, you know, we could talk of the Worlds and after the Olympics and everything going on then. It's always fun having you on. Love the way the conversation goes, and really look forward to having you back on.
Yes, can't wait.
Oh wait,
yeah, when I have that thing I didn't tell you about, we'll talk then.
There you all go. Right. Yeah, perfect.
Okay.
Have fun at the World. And,
yeah.
I will.
And enjoy the rest of that beautiful day over there.
Yes.
Getting cold out here, but 6:30. So.
Oh geez.
Cold. I've been like watching the squirrels running behind you in the trees and stuff.
I feed these guys, so they're probably not.
It's dinner time. Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. Thanks, Toby. We appreciate your time.
Yes.
All right, guys. I love being with you guys, and thanks for having me.
And hi to your wife, too.
I will. All right, guys. Bye-bye. Thanks.
All righty.